Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show. You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, wherever you are on the Faith FM network. And this morning you are joined by myself, Lawson, and sitting across from me at the desk, we've got my good friend, Joseph. Joseph, you are doing some practice just now.
Good morning, Lawson. Yes, I was practicing live before the show even started.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody will know what's coming on, and yeah, we are going to have a hot show today, Lawson.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm super excited. Unfortunately, I think one of the mics left live in the studio, and a few people heard some discussion about the stories, but hey, it'll be interesting.
The script of the day. You know, these mics, they appear to be alive and have a mind of their own, don't
sometimes,
they?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Shell, you know, controlling the desk. Sometimes she's like, oh, I must have bumped something. But then she can't remember if she bumped something. It's like, maybe they're turning on automatically. Maybe these mics. Well, I think, you know, we don't really say anything off the air that would really incriminate us or make us lose our careers. At least I hope not. I'm looking around the room. I'm like, I hope we're not saying anything like that.
Too many radio host, Lawson, already lost their livelihoods by rogue mics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking what they're not supposed to. I'm glad. And if you have any concerns or complaints, please do send us a message to 0491064669. Or if you have tips on how to keep my mic's microphone muted, it will be accepted with a glad heart.
I gotta say, I am so excited for the long weekend. Yeah, I know we just started the show, but guys, Easter is coming up, which is incredibly exciting. Like,
it is exciting.
I want to like throw out all the caveats, all the qualifiers. Yes, we know that Easter is not the time when Jesus was born. We know that it's a pagan holiday, but it is a time in which we can be drawing people to a knowledge of Christ and of his love. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to be preaching at a church camp this weekend.
And in today's shows, we are going to talk about assassins. We're going to talk about curfew in Alice Springs for people under the age of 18. And we're going to have an interview with Jeremy Dixon on with tips on how to make healthy sweets and other things.
Exciting.
And finally, we're going to be digging deeper into the Psalms, where we're going to be exploring Psalm 92 and how it can bring rest.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Lawson, before we talk about assassins, yes, good news about that, you have to prove that you have any
good news
about
assassins, yes.
But first, we want to ask our listeners, what was Jonah's first reaction after God spared Nineveh? So that was a recap from yesterday, and this is such an important question that we're asking you again.
And I think we're gonna pull up the new questions there.
Okay.
I think the page just hasn't updated, but hey, be ready for that question.
Yeah, it's 0491064669. But before we go to the new set of questions, I actually want to ask Lawson, what is the good news about assassins that you want to bring to
us? Well,
hey,
I'll get to that in one sec. I just wanted to quickly mention about our prize, which we are going to be drawing today. We're not going to be doing Friday because we are not going to be here on Friday, guys. It's the long weekend. But our prize, which we're going to be drawing today, Revive Cafe Cookbook number 8, we're actually going to be talking to Jeremy Dixon today about all things food. And along with that, we have one of his books to give away in our draw, which will be at 8:45 this morning.
Which makes me think that if you have any cooking-related questions that you want to ask directly to Jeremy today, send your question through to 0491-064-669, and we will make our best to pass on to him so you can ask the expert. And of course, in that prize, we have some amazing things. For example, a corn chowder. Now, you said that Northern Territory, which we are going to be talking about today, Lawson, they're going to be having some storms. What is better than to eat a nice corn chowder when it's just pouring cats and dogs outside?
Dude, corn in soup is like one of the greatest things ever made ever. Like, it's just incredible. We love it here on The Breakfast Show. We're going to give you a book that details and outlines how you can get it too. But hey, that first question was complete the verse or fill in the blank here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own blank. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own blank. 0491-064-669. Guys, this is your final opportunities to get in for the draw for this amazing prize, the Revive Cafe Cookbook.
Which we will be drawing today, isn't it?
8:45 a.m. today. Be tuned in for that. You're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning, and I'll happily talk to you about assassins this morning. Well, particularly a weapon of warfare, being called an assassin. More specifically, the asparagus assassin. And this is news coming from Australia talking about the ending, the assassination of Australia's most invasive plant species called the asparagus fern. Now, the asparagus fern is, you know, well, when we think of asparagus, okay, usually
it's a fern. It's not an actual asparagus plant.
No.
You're almost making me protest against whoever wanted to ban asparagus. This is one of the best things you can
asparagus,
eat.
Asparagus, amazing. We are agreed here on The Breakfast Show as brothers in vegetarianism. As this asparagus fern, rather, is an incredibly invasive species. And here in Australia, we are fighting for our lives against invasive species. Okay. And we always have been, whether it's foxes or feral cats or cane toads or prickly pear cactus, you know, which, you know, or lantana, or whatever it may be. Indian miners, like, we see in every single sector of the natural, you know, ecosystem, we see invasive species coming in, and one of the worst of them is called the asparagus fern. But there has been a guy, his name's Ron Gooch, he is from Australia, he's from Queensland, and he has created the asparagus assassin. Because one of the most difficult thing about the asparagus assassin is that it, as a weed, you can pull it out of the ground, but then it will leave, like, you know, just residue of its roots left over, and from those tiny little roots, like, it just, they just grow up again. They're predators. Yeah. That's right. They are predators in the plant world.
Some plants are so resilient. When we're looking at these weeds, it's incredible how they can grow in parched grounds, in parched soils, and you can take them as much as you want. They are always going to come back for you.
Well, at the moment, we're growing some interesting vegetables, growing some tomatoes and some eggplants and then a bunch of different herbs and whatnot on the advice of our good friend Rod Bailey, who comes on occasionally and talks to us. And yeah, man, there's so much care and work that goes in, like watering them at the right time, making sure they have good soil, all these kinds of things.
Look, I visited Rod's farm once. And one of the tools that he uses to get rid of unwanted weeds, he has an organic farm. He has like a flamethrower.
Yeah, wow. Well,
to burn the weeds before his crops can actually grow.
Well, this weapon here is just as cool. Okay. The asparagus assassin is essentially, it's a drill. And then on drill, you know, you have the circular cutting attachment to the drill, which cuts holes.
Yeah.
And then, so he's gotten that, and then he's added some PVC pipe to make it a bit bigger and a bit longer. And essentially what this does is he finds the root of the asparagus fern, and then he drills directly around it, just breaking up all the roots, like just getting all the roots broken, leaving none of them attached, so that he can just pull them straight out of the ground, doing a fantastic work. He just finds it, you know, sources these roots in the grounds, and then just pulls the soil out with it, discards the soil into a bucket or whatever it may be, you know, pulling the roots out so that the asparagus fern is just well and truly assassinated, which is cool. I'm actually showing Joseph a video now of him doing this.
So the asparagus fern is a little bit prickly, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? Now that I'm seeing the photo, because I couldn't really make in my mind, okay, what is exactly the asparagus fern? They're not a bad looking plant. But the thing is, this is a great tool, great news, if you have asparagus fern that you want to get rid of in your lawn or in your property. However, you have to be doing that job one plant at a time. So it's not really that effective, is it?
Yeah, well, and that's the case for the asparagus fern, that it is such a resilient plant that it's either get in with a drill or go scorched earth and like completely torch everything in your yard, which for many people, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I have a beautiful lawn with beautiful grass and whatnot. I don't want to just completely destroy everything. And this is an option that is finally getting rid of the asparagus fern. You know, I love stories like this because our first job that God gave us was to be, you know, stewards of this earth, yes, to look after it. And I think that, you know, being able to identify hazardous and invasive plants, because why invasive plants are bad is that they ultimately take land and nutrients away from naturally occurring, mm-hmm, beautiful plants that we have here in Australia. And so, you know, this is a form of doing the job that God originally gave us, to be good stewards of this earth. And I think that the tackling of invasive species and preserving natural ecological systems is representative and reflective of that work. You know, there are some, the very extreme kind of green evolutionists who are like, oh, well, it's just a form of evolution. If this plant spreads all over the world, you know, if you don't like the look of it, you know, you're fully within your right to change it. But to say that this is wrong, you know, you can't say that. Plants spread and they grow. And that in a sense is true. But I really...
Until it's growing in your garden.
That's
in
right.
Your vegetable bed.
That's right.
So, and then they're not welcome anymore.
Absolutely. Weeding is one of my favorite jobs in the garden because
I don't mind weeding either.
Yeah, because I'm not very adept at much else in the garden. So I love getting in and
I have lots of weeds in my garden, Lawson, so I know now who to invite for weeding session.
I would be super. I will come over and weed your garden if you guys cook me a meal. Like, 100%. If your wife, Camilla, can cook us a tasty meal,
that is
like,
ideal.
I'll bring people with me as well. We'll weed the garden. It'll be good. But yeah, it's amazing to see, you know, as the Bible says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And it's amazing that we have these awesome modern solutions to keep it, even the asparagus fern.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Right now, we're going to give you another quiz question for our quiz, which the prize is the amazing Revive Cafe Cookbook number 8. You want to get in for these prizes. This is your last opportunities to do so. So again, that number is 0491-064-669. When Jesus entered Jerusalem during what is not, sorry, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, what is during what is known as his triumphal entry, I should say, what animal was he riding on as Jesus was entering Jerusalem?
Okay. He was not on foot.
For the final time. For the final time, what animal was he riding on? If you know the answer to this, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. And if you text that number with the correct answer, you will go into the draw to win, again, at the Revive Cafe Cookbook number 8.
So this was that time when they were waving the palm branches,
yes,
and that triumphant entry.
Well, obviously representative of Easter time, of, you know, the weekend that's coming up as well. So
yes,
it should be on your mind again. 0491-064-669. What was the animal that Jesus was
riding
on?
People were laying their tunics, their capes in the floor so that Jesus could ride on top of them. It was a beautiful scene as they were singing Hosanna blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Beautiful stuff there, guys. Again, that number 0491-064-669. What is happening in the news?
Lawson, today I have some news that is all over. Alice Springs has decreed a curfew for anyone aged 18 and under from 6 p.m. till 6 in the morning.
Yeah, and this comes at a time in which youth violence has been continually in the news in Alice Springs. Lots of struggles with this is actually, you know, is a bit of a reputation for this kind of thing now.
Look, sources are saying, people that have been living in Alice Springs for a long, long time, that this is the worst violent wave that they have seen since forever.
Wow.
And people are fed up with it, Lawson. Mm. They just want to be in a safe place.
Mm.
Well, a lot of things are happening. There's a story behind that, but I'll tell you a little bit more about what triggered that. On Friday, what happened was a mob with over 150 people stormed the city center of Alice Springs. They encircled a pub, one of the most renowned pubs in the area.
Mm.
They were armed. They were smashing cars. They were smashing windows of businesses.
Wow.
And this situation went completely out of control. People were terrified inside of their businesses. The police said that they could not do anything because they did not have the resources.
Mm.
Mayor of the town was blaming the Northern Territory government, who was the one who imposed the curfew. And they said that they're going to be sending some extra police officers to help. But they're saying that they have ultimately failed their duty of helping to keep the city safe. Mm. Senator Jacinda Price said they were also... Now, she said that the lives of Indigenous Australians mean nothing to this current government, as a reference that the federal government hasn't yet responded to that situation.
Mm. So what sparked this violence?
So the story happened when last week a 18-year-old young man died.
Now,
The question, the situation happened that he was apparently, according to the police, a Toyota Hilux Ute was stolen from a caravan camp, caravan park near Alice Springs at about 2 a.m. by 9 individuals,
nine people don't usually fit in a Hilux.
No. So they left the car, and the car was seen again by the city's CCTV at about 3:40 in the morning with reckless driving, which resulted in the rollover of that car. Now, one of these young men, he was sitting on the door.
On the door.
On the door.
Uh-huh.
So when the car rolled over, it fell over him.
Yeah.
And crashed and smashed him, and he ended up being severely injured. Now, what is disturbing about this, Lawson, is that of all of his quote-unquote friends, nobody stopped to help him. Mm. They all fled the scene. By the time that the police came... And by the time that emergency support came, they took him, they rushed him to the hospital, but unfortunately, he did not make it.
Wow. Mm.
So they had a funeral, and in that funeral, I can understand, people were upset, particularly at the driver of the vehicle that was being blamed for that death. And according to sources in Alice Springs, that mob violence that the city has witnessed was a payback, what they called, which is a vendetta, a revenge against that driver and his family for causing the death of that young man.
Yeah, that's tough though, because my big question is how is this a vendetta paid by smashing businesses? What is the driver of you have to do?
So here's the point, Lawson. There's a lot that we can say about that story. Number one, my heart does go out for any loss of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I am...
It's harrowing. It's sad.
It's sad. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will comfort the mourning family of that young man. That's one thing that we need to say. The second thing that we need to say is you're going 2 a.m. to steal a car, and how can we expect anything to go well after that?
Yeah.
You know, in Brazil, there was a wisdom from mothers that they say, nothing good ever happens after midnight. So this is no place for young men to be. Now, young men have energy. They have to find avenues to release that energy that are not destructive, but are constructive. So we do not condone that. That's number one thing. Number two thing, I get it and I understand why a lot of people would be absolutely shocked and angry about that incident, Lawson. Yeah. And I understand that it's normal to want to crush things when you are at that angry state. However, nothing justifies violence. Mm. Nothing. I do not care where you are. If it is in the Northern Territory, in Alice Springs, in Sydney, in Newcastle, I don't care. I don't care who's your family, where you're coming from. Mm. If you're black, if you're white, if you're whatever, if you're national, if you're a foreigner, violence is never the solution. It's not going to bring that closure that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with these thoughts of frustration, of pain, of indignation in a wise manner? Mm. Well, I'll offer two solutions from the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." God is saying he will repay and he will cause vengeance or justice to injustices that we see. Mm. So we have to trust and commit to him, not us. It's not in our hands. Number one. And number two thing, to pray. Now, the book of Psalms is also a prayer book. And some of these Psalms were precisely designed to give words to some of our most outrageous feelings. And one of these Psalms, Lawson, is Psalm 109. And when you are really, really angry, Psalm 109 is one great place to go to unleash that anger. I'll read to you just the beginning of it. And you can, at home or in the internet, you can look for Psalm 109. "O God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers, but I am in prayer. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love." And the psalm goes on, but the idea of these psalms is that in God, we have the permission to unleash all of our feelings. We can be open, and as we do so, God transforms that anger into peace, into grace that allows us to be witnesses of who he really is, of his glory.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And in this segment, we will be interviewing Jeremy Dixon. But before that, Lawson, what is question number three?
Question three, the priests took the money that Judas had returned to them and bought what with it? 0491-064-669. If you know the answer to that one, you will go into the draw to win an amazing prize, which is the Revive Cafe Cookbook number 8. Again, that question was a very Easter-esque, guys. The priests took the money that Judas had returned to them and bought what with it? 0491-064-669. That is the number to text if you know the answer. And if you do, you will be going into the draw to win that cookbook. And we have on the phone with us none other than the writer, the creator of this series of cookbooks, and the founder of the Revive Cafe. We have Jeremy Dixon. Jeremy, how are you doing today?
Good morning. Mighty fine.
Oh, amazing. Of course, you're calling us from all the way over in New Zealand.
Over in the Mission Lands.
Yes. Obviously, I give New Zealand some shtick on here, but I have to say, I have a number of friends who are New Zealanders who are over here at college studying with me. And I've got to say, New Zealand has by far one of the best national anthems on planet Earth.
Oh, why, thank you. It's a great compliment from you.
God defend New Zealand. Like, Australia's is child's play compared to that. So, no, we are absolutely stoked to have you on the show and to talk about all things food, healthy cooking, healthy eating as well. What are we going to get into today?
Well, so I thought one of the probably the favorite topics that people like is how to make healthy vegan sweets and desserts. And I think I've talked to you about them before, but I thought I'd resurrect them and come out with a few more tips and recipes from my cookbook 6, which is the one that kind of features some sweets and desserts.
That's great. You are speaking our language. Do you have a sweet tooth, Joseph?
Look, I do not have a sweet tooth per se, but I do appreciate when I you know, but if, before I eat something, I say, okay, is it going to be worth it?
Mm.
And if it's healthy, I don't hesitate and I go for it. So do you have, so for someone that hasn't had much experience in that realm of sweets, because I heard, Jeremy, that sweets is like the exact sciences of the culinary arts. You have to measure things precisely, oven. There's not a lot of room for error. So for someone that is just starting, what would you recommend that they try for this Easter? Something healthy, delicious, and plant-based?
Yeah, great question. So I suppose to answer that, I mean, there is a kind of a culinary style where you have to, you know, exact measurements of white flour, sugar, butter, and things. So the traditional desserts are quite unhealthy. So I think my take and view on sweets is a bit different. And my mine is a bit more rustic and healthy and natural. And you don't need quite need the same accuracy required for some of the science experience that make up to some of the traditional desserts.
Oh, that's good news.
Oh, okay, so you're saying that not only is it healthy and tasty and amazing, but it's easy.
Yeah, exactly. You got to make it easy. And I suppose for the first thing when you're doing, I mean, if you look at most traditional sweet recipes, you know, you get a recipe for even a muffin or anything you like that's sweet, you've pretty much got lots of, you know, white flour, white sugar, butter, chocolate. It's, you know, pretty,
true.
You know, heart disease creating kind of recipe.
Yes.
So, for example, some of the sweeteners I like to use that you might want to consider is what we call it like the cafe is actually date syrup, which you can buy at the supermarket, which is basically syrup of dates.
Wow.
There's maple syrup, agave, coconut sugar, even apple puree, which kind of comes in like kind of a looks like baby food, but even the apple puree is quite nice as well, and even honey. So there's some, you know, great kind of naturalish. Okay. Natural-esque sweeteners. I mean, they're still sugars, but they come from much natural sources than, say your white sugar.
Yeah, so they're better than your refined white sugar that promotes, like, a big spike in your blood sugar levels. These ones, they leave you satisfied for longer, and they don't give you that withdrawal symptom afterwards. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, they're still sugars at the end of the day, and they're still sweet, but they come from natural sources. Yeah, some of them do have better properties as far as that's concerned.
Okay.
Also, other great ingredients you can use with kind of vegan sweet desserts is, you know, you kind of need to bind everything together. So you can use, you know, use a lot of nuts, tahini. You can use coconut oil, which kind of when it kind of goes cold, it kind of sticks things together like chocolate. You can use black beans. Use rice flour rather than wheat flour. A lot of seeds can be really good. Avocado is a really nice thing to add in desserts as well. And chia and flax seeds, they kind of gel up and make things stick together. There's some really cool creative ingredients you can have that I kind of use right through all my cookbooks in the dessert sections to kind of, you know, if you kind of want to stick things together, you want to put some sweetness in and then kind of add either. And most sweets generally will either be like a fruity type sweet when you've got like, you know, strawberries, raspberries, pineapple, mango, passion fruit, whatever, or chocolate. So they're kind of the two kind of sides of sweet things. So, and for the chocolate, I typically use you can either use raw cacao. It's probably my favorite kind of chocolate type of sweetener.
Raw cacao.
Raw cacao. Some people can use carob as well. That does have a bit of an aftertaste, so some people don't like that. But carob can make things nice as well. And it's also quite nice if you want kind of a coffee kind of taste. There's some of the coffee substitutes like Inco or Cara, which you can find in your supermarket. A spoonful of them kind of make kind of a nice kind of a coffee kind of flavor to kind of mix with the chocolate as well if you kind of want that.
Yes, that is great. So there's a lot of things that we typically do not consider to use in our dessert recipes, but you're telling us that there's a myriad of really natural, great, you know, plant-based ingredients that you can use, and they will make your dessert sticky, nice, with either chocolatey or even a coffee flavor. So there's definitely an abundance of resources to use from.
Exactly. So well, my cookbooks of the whole set, all the cookbooks, and you'll you get to see how they're kind of used and put together to make some really yummy desserts.
We actually have
some examples. Sorry.
Yes. I wanted to ask if you have any examples that you could give to our listeners.
Yeah. So I'm just got a few of my favorite recipes from Cookbook 6, which has a lot of dessert recipes. The first one is called Chocolatey Hazelnut Spread. And it's basically a healthy Nutella.
Oh, wow.
You are great speaking thing people, my language, bro.
Which
go.
People put on toast. But generally, most people just eat it out of the jar with a spoon.
Guilty.
So my recipe is 2 cups of roasted hazelnuts, quarter of a cup of cacao, half a cup of date puree or date syrup, cup of almond milk, and half a teaspoon of salt, and pretty much put that in a food processor and blend it till it's really, really smooth, and you've got yourself a nice, healthier version of Nutella.
Yum. And that would be so much healthier because in the actual Nutella, there's barely any hazelnuts, really. It's a bit of a cacao and then a whole bunch of oils and fat and palm oil and sugar. You're paying premium for just white sugar mixed with palm oil.
Yep, exactly.
And a little bit of a chocolatey thing and some artificial flavors there. I don't think you can even find a trace of hazelnuts pretty much.
But Jeremy Dixon is doing it better. We're doing it better now. We're giving you real hazelnuts.
I like that. It's like 2 cups. Is that, you said 2 cups of roasted hazelnuts?
Yes.
Now, I have a question. Why do you have to roast the hazelnuts? Can I use the hazelnuts raw as they come from the package, or it's not going to give me the same results?
No. So the roasted hazelnuts have a better flavor. It brings out the beautiful hazelnut flavor, so it must be roasted. So if you can't find them roasted, roast them yourself in the oven for about probably 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay. No, okay. That's great. So you want to be careful not to burn it.
So you're making sure when you roast your nuts, you basically be careful about it. But you want to probably roast them probably 150 degrees, just not too hot. So you roast them, not just burn the outside.
Jeremy, this week we had one listener sending us, because we were promoting your Revive Cafe Cookbook 8. So this is what we're going to be giving on the draw today.
Yes, great.
And it has some sweet things as well. And one of them is the poppy seed lemony macaroons. Now, one of our listeners said, I love macaroons, but they're so full of sugar, I cannot eat it. Is there anything different that you do with your macaroon recipe that we can put the heart of our listener at ease?
So macaroons, again, a lot of these vegan sweets are quite very concentrated and high in fat, so you don't want to have huge amounts of some of them. That particular recipe, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe, I think maple syrup is a sweetener I use for that one. So it's just a lot less of the sugars and using healthier versions.
Okay, so you can eat it without a guilty conscience. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. But it's like anything, there's still calories in there, so you don't want to be eating, 50 of them, or else, you're eating all the calories. So you just want to balance that off.
One or two.
I believe using healthy ingredients is definitely going to be better for your body.
Yeah. If they have like a good quality decaf coffee with one or two macaroons, that would be something to impress your visitors at Easter. And, and what else? Do you have any other examples or recipes here that can be shared for this Easter season that we're in?
Sure. So one is here. One of my favorite ones is my carrot and ginger cake with orange icing.
Wow.
It's a really moist kind of carrot cake.
Yum.
So the base is grated carrots, rolled oats, chopped dates, coconut, raisins, cranberries, and a bit of water. So you blend that up, and next comes the base. You push it down. In the topping, you make a really nice icing out of cashew nuts, maple syrup, orange juice and lemon juice, and ginger puree. And basically you mix that up and spread it on top, put it in the fridge, and it's a really nice, moist, delicious kind of carrot and ginger cake. And the icing obviously sets it off really well. So that's a really good example.
That sounds amazing. And if I want to serve this carrot cake with a side as well, with something complimentary, is that anything that you suggest as well, or should it be served just by itself?
It's just the type of thing you probably have as a dessert. By itself, I think it's kind of an icing on it, so it doesn't really need anything else. So probably the dessert or an afternoon tea or a high tea kind of a thing could be quite good.
Yes, nice, yes. The good thing about having dessert with a nice herbal tea is that the herbal tea helps to break a little bit that sugar, and then it makes the whole experience more enjoyable as well. Do you like teas with your desserts when you're eating desserts?
I'm not a massive hot drink person.
Okay.
I'll tell you my favorite thing at the moment for hot drinks, though, is a dandelion latte. I don't know if you can get dandelion or chicory powdered over there, but it makes a really nice coffee alternative. Mm-hmm. And with a nice frothed plant-based milk, it is just the most amazing drink.
That's great. Well, Lawson, I do not know. We should actually invite Jeremy to fly over here and to maybe do something here for us at the studio. Because it's just everything so mouth-watering.
It doesn't even need to be on air. We could do it on a Sunday morning. of course we would. Yeah. If Jeremy happened to pop over to Australia, we'd love to do something with you, Jeremy. But yeah,
we can organize a weeding and sweet party where Lawson will be weeding my garden while Jeremy is cooking some delicious sweets for us to enjoy later. Jeremy, anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
So another resource is really cool, and this is back on the fruit side of things, honey-grilled fruit. So basically what you do is you get a whole lot of fruit, you get some sliced oranges, you get some strawberries, some sliced pineapple, some banana, some frozen blueberries, and some pears. Put them on a tray, sprinkle them with honey or maple syrup, and then you grill them under the oven for about 5 minutes, and you really want to soften that fruit and really bring out those really, really sweet flavors. Mm-hmm. And it displays really beautifully on a platter because there's lots of colors. But just having the grilled fruit really brings out the flavor. It kind of gives it a different taste. And then sprinkle some, you can make some apple. In my book, I use an apple cinnamon cream, which is just cashew nuts, apple juice, and cinnamon. So you blend that up and you make it so it's kind of thick and have it either as a dipping sauce or have it as kind of sprinkled over. And it's just a really nice, fresh but kind of intense fruit platter. And the cinnamon apple cream goes really well with it as well.
That is very nice. I have never tried anything like that. That would be something for me to try. So can I use the pineapples from a can? Is it recommended, or it's better to use the fresh stuff?
You could actually use pineapple from a can. You'll probably get a better result with fresh pineapple.
Okay.
But in winter, yeah, definitely you can experiment and use different fruits. And yeah, canned pineapple is a great thing to have in the cupboard as well.
Yes, because I just find sometimes so hard to find sweet pineapples here in Newcastle. Sometimes you manage, but sometimes you buy it and it's a little bit too tart. Yes. For my taste. But I think that grilling it on the oven would probably bring up all the sweetness.
Mm. Exactly, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy Dixon, with some incredible recipes for your Easter holiday. Jeremy, thank you so much. We're looking forward to your next participation with us to talk more about practical cooking, healthy cooking, and cooking that actually impresses without breaking the bank. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.